James Douglas, and this is Scott Munro, and welcome to our Pilgrimage Show. We own a restaurant called Reg True Barbecue, two in Leeds, and we've got one in Manchester. And every year we go off on a pilgrimage. It's research, it's to have a good time, it's to find some new ideas, and there's loads of reasons why we do it. And Scott, we'll give you a very interesting one now about regional barbecue.
It's basically the differences between each region, each state, sometimes cities, sometimes towns do barbecue a bit differently. So low and slow barbecue has so many different techniques and so many different ways of treating different styles of meat, such as in Texas, they generally only do beef, whereas in some of the Carolinas, it's mainly pork. And we know that our first destination, at least, is going to be in Kentucky. They are the only state that does mutton. And we're really looking forward to, you know, making sure that everything that we do on our menu follows traditional and authentic ways of smokehouse. And what that means is meeting people who are really interested in this industry, people who are pit masters, who've been doing it for years, all the techniques and all the skills that have been passed down from one generation to the next. They've been doing this for hundreds of years in the US. It's something that's really ingrained in their psyche.
But anyway, have a listen to the show and let us know what you think, and hopefully you enjoy it.
And don't worry, it's not all speaking. There's a little bit of soundtracks as well, the actual soundtracks that we used in our RV along the whole journey, which was something like 1,500 miles across 8 days, or even 9 days, I think it was. Six men, five steaks, four barbecue meals a day, one five barbecue meals a day, one Winnebago or RV, and 11 flights. So it was pretty epic. Well, hope you enjoy it. Make it!
You got to demonstrate.
So whenever you do these kind of trips, obviously you've got to stick to a pretty tight schedule. And the first thing that we had to do was to catch a train from Leeds to Manchester Airport. And Scott and I missed the first train, but in actual fact, it was really good fortune that we did, because on the next train was none other than David Guest, former husband of Liza Minnelli and raconteur of more stories and gags than I think I've ever heard in my entire life. But also, he loves barbecue and he had some amazing recommendations of some different places that we could eat. And, you know, we just took some wicked advice off him, got some wicked places and heard some pretty bizarre stuff. So have a listen to this.
The four-way grill. It's in the ghetto. You'll love the food. The other places are, there's another barbecue. Charlie Varga, that's it. Charlie and his brother John. But mention my name. They love me.
While we're on the train, David suggested that one of his friends, Lorraine, knew a fried chicken place on the road to Tunica. He couldn't remember exactly where it was, so he thought he'll give her a ring. Now, it turns out that it was about, what, 4 o'clock in the morning? 3 a.m. in the morning. So he rang this woman up and was fairly curt with her. I think he rang her about, did he ring her about 3 times? And he just kept on ringing this woman back. And then at the end of it, he kind of said to her that she needed to get some sleep, but it's kind of his fault that she wasn't getting any.
Okay, Willie Mitchell's daughter, Lorraine. Hi, baby. No, I had to come back to England. I'm doing a tour and I'm doing a Petula Clark special. Listen, what's the name of that other barbecue? Not Rendezvous, not Corky's. The one when you go towards Tunica. She said it's nasty. What's the barbecue on towards Midtown? Madison, yeah, it is. Barbecue shop, Madison. That's excellent. They're doing a documentary on barbecue. You should meet her sister. Her father, Willie Mitchell, produced Al Green, all the hits. The only problem she has, her sister, Yvonne, is that she was born with her vagina where her mouth is.
Oh, really?
Where her vagina is.
That's a real problem. Actually, it's not.
Okay. Go to sleep. What time is it there?
It's about to the end.
That's the first question. That's the first question.
What time is it there? 2 o'clock?
Oh, my God.
In the morning?
She's awake.
3 a.m. Okay, get some sleep. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Say thank you. You. Thank you. Say thank you, Lorraine.
Have a good sleep, Lorraine.
They love you, Lorraine. I'm telling you, a bunch of white boys that love you.
Oh, So we arrived in Cincinnati yesterday. It was a long day drinking without any sleep. Felt somewhat dehydrated when we landed in Cincinnati. Obviously, at that point, we started drinking again. And we tried to find some food, which we failed miserably because we arrived on Easter Sunday, thinking that there'd be some places open, some barbecue places at least. But of course, nothing was open, so we just went to a pub. And we got a takeaway pizza at the hotel, which was a bit of a disaster. I tried the White Castle, which is like a burger joint over here, which Greg's really been looking forward to trying. But it was a bag of shit, wasn't it? It was horrible. It tasted like dog meat. It was rank. Just like burnt onions. And the fries were okay, but yeah, the whole thing was a bit of a disappointment, really.
Whenever Scott says Cincinnati, he goes from being kind of a South African that's lived in Leeds for 20 years straight into an American accent.
When we landed in Cincinnati, we weren't there for the barbecue. We were there just to land and use their airport services. What we were doing was actually heading over to Kentucky, which is about 110 miles away or 150 kilometers. We were going there for two reasons. One was the Mutton Run, which is barbecue mutton. It's very popular in Kentucky. And the other really popular export from Kentucky is bourbon. And we like a bit of bourbon. So we thought we'd tie in a little bit of barbecue and bourbon on the same trip. We had two cities that we were going to try in Kentucky. We were heading over to Lawrenceburg and to Louisville. That was on our route to Wild Turkey Distillery, which is also in Kentucky. But first, we needed to pick up the RV or the Winnebago.
So the sweet ride, we have a sweet ride because I booked it. If we had
let... the only thing you've done to prepare for the fucking journey, mate. So it's, although you've done a good job, it is literally the only thing you've done. So don't forget that.
So yeah, it's cool.
What is the ride?
46 foot, twin axle. I think we've had to pay a fairly big deposit on it because it's worth about $900,000.
It's got a sauna,
it's got a jacuzzi, it's got a sky deck, and there's a little helipad bit at the back. Sleeps about nine people. It's got bunk beds, double beds. It's cool.
Barbecue and bourbon are a perfect match made in heaven. And on our way down to the Wild Turkey Distillery, we couldn't wait to get some Wild Turkey action. We sell a huge amount of Wild Turkey at Red's. We spend numerous hours testing new bourbons, but we always go back to Wild Turkey. It's one of our favourites. And we were on a promise to meet the head distiller and head taster, a guy called Jimmy, who is about 90 years old, and he's been working at Wild Turkey for probably as long as that. And what a great journey that was. We managed to get a tour of the whole distillery. We managed to taste, stuff that wasn't quite ready, stuff that was ready. We bareback rode some Wild Turkeys. They weren't real. They were made of barrels of bourbon. The dude who was giving us the tour went into a lot of detail on proofing and how they did proofing in the early days and stuff like that. It's quite interesting. I will all listen to this.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Good, thanks.
In 1869, two brothers came over here from Tyrone, Ireland. Their names were James and Thomas Rippey. They started a small distillery along the Kentucky River. They like here because it's a good water source. They also like it because the Kentucky River accesses the Gulf of Mexico, so you could ship your product quite a few locations. So the brothers were able to grow the business, and by 1905, they acquired the 600 acres that we have today. Now, Wild Turkey has 27 warehouses. 26 of them hold about 20,000 barrels, or 27th holds 50,000 barrels. We have over 500,000 barrels in aging right now at Wild Turkey. There's actually more barrels of bourbon in the state of Kentucky than there are people. So you can kind of see where our priorities are here in Kentucky.
Thank you.
Jimmy Russell, master distiller at Wild Turkey Distillery, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky.
You've done that before, haven't you?
Makes me nervous when you do that.
We tried to find some mutton yesterday.
Kentucky, this area is chicken and pork.
Oh, it is?
And
oh, wow.
A little beef. Now, you go to the western part of the state of Kentucky, yeah. It's all mutton.
We're going to go to Louisville and potentially Owensboro.
Owensboro, you're going to get plenty of mutton there.
Right, exactly. Everyone in Kentucky loves barbecue, though.
We eat a lot of barbecue. I tease and cut up all the time. You don't want to stand around too long in Kentucky. Right. We'll either barbecue you or fry you once.
The whole point of being in Kentucky was to try both bourbon and barbecue. We tried the bourbon at Kentucky. It was amazing. But now it was time for some barbecue. And we drove in the RV for about 2 hours southwest and hit a place called Bootleg Barbecue. Mutton in Kentucky is quite popular, and Bootleg Barbecue seemed like a really good place to go and try it. We met with one of the guys behind the counter, a guy called Steven, who told us a bit more about how they do things there at Bootleg, the whole barbecue kind of smoking process, and also they had a pretty big Super Bowl event recently. So have a little listen.
Right here we got 6 dinner rolls, a full slab of ribs, 2 cuts of pork chop, 2 pints of tater salad, smoked beans, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans on each of these plates. This is hot and mild sauce. We got 3 ribs on each plate, pulled chicken, pork, and beef.
Any mutton?
We do have mutton if y'all want to try that.
Yeah, that's why we're here, yeah. Yeah, definitely some mutton.
Some mutton, man. We'll get that ready for y'all.
Yeah, we believe it's Kentucky's only place in the States that does mutton.
I know when I lived in Tennessee that we did mutton down there, but not like we do here. Yeah, we do a lot here.
You guys busy every day?
Oh, yeah. Every day. The beef brisket, that's what takes the longest to cook. We smoke it for 13 hours. And then our ribs are smoked daily, and we go through a couple bus pans, which is... How many slabs are in a box, Alex?
It's 10 to 12 bones, depending on the weight of the rib.
10 to 12 bones, and about 10 slabs in each box. And we go through 2 of those each day.
All right. Okay.
Super Bowl weekend, we did 27,000 wings.
Whoa.
And then the one on Bardstown Road did about 73.
27,000 wings.
27. All put on one by one by hand. We count every single one by hand.
could see the road that they walk on.
Thing we saw was we came across a bit of a local speciality, which is called burgoo soup, which is like a spicy stew served with cornbread. Now, traditionally, it's made with whatever meat and veg you can get hold of, and it's a dish for kind of real social occasions because everyone just dives in and scoops those out of the pan. Stephen's recipe was definitely stretching the boundaries of what we could have taken back to the UK with some of his ingredients, but have a listen to what he puts in his.
Burgoo to me isn't with beef or chicken, or a lot of people put different stuff into it. To me, it's turtle. Turtle is, it, you probably hear it a lot, it tastes like chicken, but it's a lot smoother. It's more of a soul food to me. It's a lot of prep work, but you take 6-foot troughs, water, cayenne pepper, turtle, mixed vegetables, 8 hours of simmering, and you got a really good meal.
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my uncle's recipe.
That's like soul, like home soul food.
Yeah, that's right. That's soul food.
Right, okay, cool.
Why can't we get it? Is it because it's not?
I think you can make it, but nobody around here is going to take the risk to use turtle. Right. Or it's not a risk, but it's time consuming.
Okay.
It's very hard to prep the turtle.
Yeah, from the pitmaster of the bootleg barbecue. Cheers, dude.
That's all right.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you so much, man. So we're leaving Kentucky. We've just come back from the Wild Turkey Distillery in Lawrenceville, I think it was called. Orangeburg. Sorry, I apologize. And we're currently how many miles away from Nashville? So it should say it here. About 200. Oh my gosh, joking. No, it's about 90. Anyway, so yeah, we're heading down to Nashville now. We had a great old time in Kentucky. We managed to get some mutton barbecue on the way between here and Lawrenceburg. It was a place called Louisville, and it was a place called Bootleg Barbecue. And the ribs were good. The cornbread was amazing. We were surprised how good the mutton was.
Of course,
the mash and gravy was amazing. Yeah. So I think we're going to look at maybe putting mash and gravy on our sides list. Anyway, so we're heading down to Nashville. What are we expecting in Nashville, boys?
Music.
Little country
times,
and western, bit of a
late night barbecue, peg leg porker. Apparently, mac and cheese is a vegetable.
Oh yeah, we heard about that as well. Yeah, cool. In the meantime, we'll bid you adieu.
Adios.
Adios.